The scripture says, if God is for us, who could possibly stand against us? Amen? Amen. It is great to worship with you again this week. And we are in week, believe it or not, week 7 of our series called The Way to a Winning Attitude. The Way to a Winning Attitude. Attitude is so important. It affects everything in life. And this morning we're going to kind of focus on this topic of confident attitude, how to gain a confident attitude. And our passage of scripture this morning is Philippians. We're in the book of Philippians for this series. This morning, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And then I'm going to just flip over to one verse in the fourth chapter, verse 13. Here are the words of the Lord found in Philippians chapter 3, 1 through 6. Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things again to you, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship the Spirit of God, who glorify in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Paul, having said what he's not going to put his confidence in, listen to his confidence in this one verse. It's my favorite verse in all the Bible. It is my personal life verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do everything through him, through Christ, who gives me strength. Amen? Let's pray, and then we're going to get into the topic. God, we thank you this morning for this beautiful, beautiful day that comes from this great summer you've given us, where we have enjoyed your beauty, the sunshine, and we just stand in awe. We just are in awe of your majesty, your greatness. And we thank you this morning that as we gather as your people, we can meet in this place together, but we can be assured because we called upon your name that you are in our midst. By your Spirit, you are present with us. And so I pray here this morning, Lord, that you would bring alive your word, that you would speak to our hearts and teach us about confidence, that we would hear you, your still small voice, we would hear that voice, not only with our ears, but with our hearts, and that we receive the word that you would have for us today to build our confidence in you. We ask your blessing upon us now as we listen. Listen, not just with our ears, but with our hearts. So speak to us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' strong name we ask it. And the church said, amen. Amen. We came to this morning's topic, I couldn't help this week but wonder how many of us gathered here this morning, here in this place or online, how many of us struggle with lack of confidence? I've wondered how many of us struggle with feelings of inferiority, low self-image, low worth, lack of confidence. It's no small problem. In fact, it's a huge problem that some people struggle with their entire lives. Maybe you struggle with lack of confidence. And maybe that's why God has you here today. Lack of confidence is no small problem. It affects every aspect of our lives. All of our relationships are affected by lack of confidence. Our job prospects, affected by lack of confidence. Our spiritual lives, for sure, are affected by lack of confidence. And in fact, simply enjoying life itself, we're robbed of something by lack of confidence. The thing I'd want to say at the outset is that lack of confidence is not a psychological problem. It's not a, an emotional problem so much as it is a belief problem, really unbelief. There are lots of things that create lack of confidence, but behind all of them is this unbelief. What are some of the things that contribute to our lack of confidence? Well, first of all, probably a poor or negative self-image that maybe came upon us when we were very, very young in the home we grew up in. And we hear it. We hear it from people when we hear them say things like, you know, I don't feel adequate. I'm not enough. You hear it, don't you? Lack of confidence that comes from this image they have of themselves, or maybe you have of yourself, that is so low, so poor. Another reason for lack of confidence is past failures, especially if you erroneously believe, that because you failed in the past, you're likely to fail in the future. Just because you failed in the past doesn't mean that you're going to fail in the future, but some people really, really believe that, and because of that false belief, again, the issue of confidence has to do with belief. The problem is that people end up saying, you know, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'll never accomplish it. I'll never accomplish it. There's a third major reason, contributor to lack of confidence, and that is that sometimes there are situations in life that create fear in us and we're intimidated. For we imagine that we don't have what it takes to achieve them. And we'll be heard to say, I don't think I'm going to go after that goal. I just don't think I have a chance. I don't think I have what's necessary to achieve it. And all of this has to do with belief and why we turn to God's Word this morning for understanding of how to gain a sense of confidence. I'd like to begin by doing a little bit of an assessment with you, if you don't mind. Again, because I just don't want you listening, we're learning about confidence building, and so these are exercises that I'm giving you each week to kind of build your confidence. But here's today's assignment, today's exercise. It's a personal assessment as we begin to this morning. You assigning the number of your level of confidence from 0 to 10. I want you to think about a number. And don't spend a lot of time, just what comes to mind immediately when you think of your confidence number. What is it between 0 and 10? All right? And so you've got a number in your head. Confidence has to do with belief. And not simply having more belief. It's not as simple as that all the time. Sometimes the issue of confidence is not the belief, but the object that we put our belief in that is the challenge. You see, sometimes we can have a lot of confidence and we could put it in something that's not reliable or trustworthy, and it's called false confidence. You might be here this morning and you struggle with a low or lack of confidence. Some of you might be here this morning and the challenge might come to you about your false confidence. Because you could have great confidence, but have it in the thing that is most unreliable and trustworthy, and you're going to end up being disappointed. And maybe God's word for you this morning, those of you who say, you know what, I don't have a problem with lack of confidence, well, you might have a problem here. With false confidence. And that's really what Paul is addressing in this passage this morning. It's a tough passage. A lot of pastors will pass through it because he's talking about dogs, calling people dogs and mutilators. And what's that all about? Well, Paul is talking here about these people in his day who put their confidence in a religious system that relied heavily on external symbols like circumcision and rituals. And he warns, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of flesh, a reference to circumcision. For it is we who are the circumcision, the true circumcision, because it's we who worship by the Spirit of God who glory in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh. He's warning about people in his day who put a lot of confidence in a religious system that had a lot of external ritual that they put their confidence in. And he cautioned them, he was cautioning them about putting their reliance, their trust in that kind of system that created this false security that they were okay with God and God was okay with them and that they were saved. And Paul goes on to say, though I myself, because Paul was once very much involved in that system, he said, I myself have no reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And then he kind of continues, and he kind of does this kind of like a checklist. He says, if you think you have confidence in this system, I had even more. Because with regard to circumcision, check. I was circumcised on the eighth day. He didn't remember it. His mommy told him. The eighth day, I am of the people of Israel. I'm an Israelite. Check. With regard to tribe, not just any tribe, I'm of the tribe. Benjamin, check. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. With regard to the law, I'm a Pharisee, the most law-abiding Hebrew there was. A Pharisee, more strict and more law-abiding than the Sadducees. Yes, I'm a Pharisee. With regard to zeal, I was someone who persecuted the church. With regard to legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. I followed all the rules. And he said, I don't put my confidence in that anymore. It's caused me to think about how so much in our culture around confidence building and self-esteem relies on external things. And how in our culture we're invited all the time to see our confidence built by putting our confidence in external things. When really it's a deeper issue than just, well, let me just tell you about one article I read online. You could go online and read it yourself. 10 ways to instantly build self-confidence. I don't know if you can build confidence instantly, but here's what the article goes on to say. Although many of the factors affecting self-confidence are beyond your control, there are a number of things you can consciously do to build self-confidence. By using these 10 strategies, you can get the mental edge you need to reach your potential. Can you guess what the 10 things are? Here they are. 10 things. You want to build your self-confidence? Dress sharp. You'll feel much more confidence if you're dressed well. Dress for success, in other words. How about walk faster? You can increase your self-confidence by putting some pep in your step. Good posture. By practicing good posture, you'll automatically feel more confident. Personal commercial. Write a 30-60-second speech that highlights your strengths and goals, then recite it in front of a mirror or inside your head whenever you need a confidence boost. Self-talk, in other words. Gratitude. Compliment other people. By looking for the best in others, you'll indirectly bring out the best in yourself. Sit on the front row. Good move. Good move. You sit on the front row, you'll be more visible to the most important people talking from the front room. Speak up. By making an effort to speak up at least once in every group discussion, you'll become a better public speaker, more confident in your own thoughts, and recognized as a leader by your peers. Work out. Along the same lines as personal appearance, physical fitness has a huge effect on self-confidence. Focus on contribution. The more you contribute to the world, the more you'll be rewarded with personal success and recognition. Our world is inviting us all the time to to this kind of stuff of self-improvement, of self-confidence. And there is such a thing as self-confidence. It's important. It's part of confidence, self-confidence. But the culture invites us to build that confidence by things that are so external, things we can do all by ourselves. We don't need anyone's help. And it's why it's called self-confidence. And the problem with it so often is that sometimes we can build such confidence that we can actually end up having overconfidence. And we can have a great deal of confidence in ourselves, overconfidence. It's an exaggerated view of ourselves and what we can accomplish. Overconfidence refers to this tendency to think that we're smarter or that we're more capable than we really are. It leads 82% of people to say that they are the top 30% of safe drivers. You can figure out the math, right? 82% of people say that they are in the top 30% of safe drivers. Or, for example, when people say that they are 90% sure of something, studies show that they're right only about 70% of the time. It's called overconfidence. Overconfidence. An exaggerated sense of who I am and what I can accomplish. And the scripture cautions us about this. It calls it pride. It's pride. It's the Muhammad Ali, I'm the greatest. And there are some people who give off an air that they really do imagine themselves the greatest. Or imagine that they can do anything they put their minds to. Whereas the Bible warns us that pride always precedes a fall. In other words, overconfidence always sets us up for the inevitable fall because, well, maybe this is where God wants to speak to some of you. Maybe you have been relying so much on yourself that you don't need anybody else. And you might not even think at times you need God. You're overconfident. Here's the truth about confidence. Confidence has to do with belief. But not just simply belief, it is what we put our belief in, the object of our confidence or our faith. And so the key is, what are we putting our confidence in? The essence of gaining true confidence, genuine confidence, is what we're talking about this morning, is knowing that we can't do it on our own, but that we can put our confidence in something or someone who is absolutely reliable and trustworthy. And that's where Paul found his confidence, isn't it? This is where he changes from chapter 3, where he says, I'm not going to put confidence in myself, in the flesh, in this religious ritual. I'm going to put my confidence, my trust, I'm going to put it in Christ. And he comes out with this great affirmation, this great statement of confidence where he says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. In other words, he's talking about Christ's confidence. You see, there's only one thing, one who will never let you down, one who is totally reliable, one who is altogether trustworthy. And Paul says, I'm going to take all of my trust out of this bank over here of what I used to believe in, this ritual system of religion. Of religion is us trying to reach up to God. And I'm going to bring all of that out of that bank, and I'm going to put it over here. I'm going to put it in this. I'm going to trust that I put my faith in Christ, because this is different than religion. Religion is us doing what we need to do, rituals and rules and trying to get up to God. He said, I'm coming over here because here is where God reached down to us. He sent Jesus. And Jesus accomplished something for us that we could never accomplish ourselves, and that is he died on the cross bearing our sin. And he has forgiven us. And he has begun a brand new work in us whereby we are now a new creation, a new child of God. Because our confidence is no longer in ourselves and in religion. Our confidence is in Jesus. And it's in him I can do all things because he strengthens me. And so the essence of what I'm trying to encourage you to do this morning related to confidence is to take your trust and put it where it's secure. And where you can trust that if you put it in Christ, you will never, ever be disappointed. He will never, ever fail you. I will fail you. Other people will fail you. The church will fail. People will let you down. People are not perfect. Do you know that, right? You're not perfect, all right? We love you. We feel very much a part of this church. We're glad to be a part of you, but you're not perfect. There is one who is. And Paul says, that's where I've taken my confidence, my trust, and I put it in him. And because I have, I can do all things. He put his trust in Jesus. Now, I want to get so specific about what that all involves so that you can practically do this. So understand that confidence has to do with belief. All right? A lack of confidence is lack of belief in yourself. Lack of belief in who you are, what you can accomplish. But so you got to have faith. All right? So you take the faith. And what's important is not just having faith in anything, because you could put it in the wrong thing, and that's called false confidence. You can put it in yourself, and only in yourself, and it could end up being what? Overconfidence. I'm inviting you to move here and put it in Jesus. And to believe Jesus, to believe God. Now, here's something I want you to catch. What I'm saying. I'm saying believe in God. Or rather, I'm saying believe God, not merely believe in God. I'm making a distinction here because it's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to believe God. Are you catching the distinction I'm making? I'm saying that you can be someone who believes in God. I believe in God. But not believe God as in I take his word to heart. I'm trusting what he says. This is why this book is so important. This is why the study of this book is so important to us. This is God's word to us. This is God's written word to us. Jesus, by the way, John's gospel will say that Jesus is the word of God come flesh. Jesus is a living word. But the word is so important to us as believers so that we can not only believe in God, we can believe him. That is, we can take his word, listen to it, hear it, and take it to heart. We can believe his word. I've discovered that there are a lot of believers in churches who believe in God, but because they haven't been in God's word, they don't know what God's word says. Or maybe they've been in God's word, but they haven't moved to believing God when he says what he says. So that here's the challenge I have for you this morning, the exercise I have for you this week. It is to affirm three statements that God says, that God speaks throughout his word. The three statements would be these. To believe God is to believe that I am who God says I am. And I would encourage you, if you need to work on your confidence, if you want to work on your lack of confidence, or if you have been putting your confidence in the wrong things, I'm going to invite you to perhaps type on your computer these words. I am who God says I am. Will you repeat those words with me? I am who God says I am. Say it again. I am who God says I am. And I'm going to suggest that you do something that I've done in my spiritual walk. I put a statement like that on the bathroom mirror so that every morning I'm looking at that statement. I am who God says I am. There's this beautiful song that we've been singing. The band has been playing and we've been singing along the last couple of weeks. It's a song by Lauren Daigle. I don't know if you caught the words, but on the chance that you didn't catch the words, I'm going to sing that song for you right now. That's a joke. I'm not going to sing them because I do want you to hear them, all right? Listen to the words. We have been singing these words, but you may not have picked up on them. I keep hearing voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You say, God, I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I'm weak. And you say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me, what you say of me, I believe the only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you, I find my worth. In you, I find my identity. Some of us who profess to believe in God, who believe in Jesus, sometimes listen more to the little tape-recorded voice in our heads, reminding us of painful past experiences and failures, reminding us constantly that we're never enough. Some of us have listened more to other people around us who have disrespected us, dishonored us. We've listened more to some of those voices than we have paused to listen to the still small voice of God who says, you are, listen to me. Are you listening? You are who I say you are, God says. And this may be new for you. You may have been listening to those voices. I'm challenging you to choose not to listen to those voices. That every time you're tempted to repeat some of those things, you in fact will say, I am who God says I am. What are you going to say? Praise God, if you will. There's a second one I want to give you this morning. And it is that I believe God, that I can do what God calls me to do. I believe that God, I can do what God calls me to do. Do you ever catch yourself saying, oh, you know what? I plainly suck at life. Or I've never been able to do anything significant. I don't imagine my life will amount to anything. Those kinds of statements, they're going to bring down your confidence. What you're rehearsing in those statements, you're predicting your future. If you believe that you will never amount to anything, guess what? More than likely, you'll not do anything significant. So what I'm suggesting is that you, and I did this myself personally because I would just personally confess that this area of my spiritual walk has been the most challenging aspect of my walk as a Christ follower. You do not know me well enough. You do not know my family system I came out of, but I came out of a family system where I had a very distorted, low self-image. And that I am where I am today is only by God's grace. And so one of the exercises I gave myself, and I've given my congregation in Everett before, but I'll give you, is you might take an elastic band and you might put it around your wrist And when you catch yourself speaking some of those negative statements, I'm going to suggest that you take that elastic band, you bring it about 2 inches, and then you let go. And you'll say, ouch, I don't like that experience. Good. You're quick learners then. If you continue to speak, I would suggest bring it out 5 inches. Let go. But what you're trying to do is interrupt that negative believing process. It's not just negative thinking. You believe this. And if you believe this, understand it has consequences if you believe that you will not accomplish anything. And I'm going to suggest that instead of those kinds of statements, you begin to speak these statements. I can do what God calls me to do. Or maybe you'll do what I did. I put Philippians 4:13 on my bathroom mirror, and I've committed to memory. Not in this particular version. The version is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do anything he calls me to do. I believe that with all my heart. If God calls me to it, he will bring me through it. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe it not because my confidence is in me. Trust me, it is not in me. My wife knows it is not in me. But if he calls me to it, he's going to bring me through it. And so for some of you, my hope is that you'll go home and you'll put on your bathroom mirror, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You will commit to memory God's word. It's why God's word is so important. That we know it, we hear it, and we receive it, we believe it. Last statement is this one here. I believe that where God guides me, he will provide for me. That where God guides me, he will provide for me. Imagine this for a moment. Can you imagine that God calls you to something? Do you imagine that he's going to call you to something and not provide you what you need in order to be successful at it? What kind of God would that be? Imagine God setting us up for failure like that, that he would call you to do something, that he would call you to something and say, you know what, you do it, I'm asking you to do it, but I'm not going to help you at all. What God guides us to, God will bring us through. What God guides us to, he will provide for us. He will provide for us. And Paul reminds us of this again in the 4th chapter of Philippians, where here is God's word to us, God's promise to us. And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Another verse of scripture worth memorizing. My God will supply. People will ask me all the time, you know, I'm worried about my resources. I'm worried about how I'm going to take care of this. I'm worried about all this stuff that I've got to pay for. Amongst the things that I will say, including, what's your budget? Have you been living within your budget? And I'll do all of that conversation. I'll say this. Understand that your God can provide all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Your God can do that. He will provide for you. And so this morning, I'm inviting you, related to this whole topic of confidence, to move away from lack of confidence. And not merely just to take your confidence and your faith and put it in anything, because it could be the wrong thing. It could be something that will end up disappointing you, including if you put all of your confidence in you, because as good as you think you are, you're not that good. You will trip up. You will fall. You will get older. You will lose your attractiveness. You will lose your muscle mass. You will lose some of your capacity to remember things. What was I going to say next? Okay. It happens. I'm inviting you to put all of your confidence, take it all, put all of your belief and put it in the one and only one who will never fail you, never let you down, the one who's absolutely reliable. His name is Jesus. And he will save you. He will sustain you. He will provide for you. He will bring you through no matter what you face. You'll be able to do all things. This will be your life as well. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Let's pray. I'm going to lead in a time of prayer here. Our band's going to come and they'll be playing music about surrendering. Just acknowledging, God, we need you. And it's just a time where we invite people to be more reflective, to think about what God may have been saying this morning, and for you to respond. And you're welcome to come during that time of reflection, that time of invitation. I'll stay here, and I'd be glad to pray with you and for you this morning, if you'd like me to do that. Or this morning, you could be just praying where you're seated. You don't have to come forward. But if it would be significant for you to kind of say, you know what, I'm going to confidently get out of my seat and come, and I just want prayer, I need prayer, that would be wonderful. I'm just going to invite you to bow your heads for a moment because I'm going to ask some very personal questions. And I'm not going to broadcast it, I'm not going to put you in an awkward situation, but I'm just wondering here this morning, if you were here in this morning, God's Spirit has been so real to you that you realize that you are not a believer in Jesus. You have not transferred your full faith into Jesus as your forgiver and the Lord of your life. This morning, you'd like to do that. If that's your desire, would you just slip up your hand? Because even in your seat, I'm going to pray for you. I want to pray for you. So that just lift up your hand and put it back down. I want to pray that, in fact, before you leave today, you will feel the presence of Jesus in your life. Yes. Good for you. Good for you. I see that. Is it someone else's experience this morning that maybe this morning this message was just for you? You kind of felt, man, I needed this message, and God spoke to me, and this morning you just want me to pray. And again, you don't have to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to stand right now and embarrass you, but you just want me to pray for your confidence. This is an area where you struggle as well. Would you just raise your hand? Confidently, raise your hand. Yes, yes, absolutely. Good, good. Way to be. Okay, good. I'm going to pray. So God, we thank you this morning that you have gathered us in this place of worship. And our confidence is in you, Lord, that you are here. Because your word says, your promise is that wherever we gather in your name, you would be in our midst. And so we trust that you're here. We believe that you're here. And that you delight in us calling upon your name. And so I thank you for those who raised their hand this morning who said, I want the assurance that Jesus is in my life, that he has forgiven me, and that I belong to him. And so, Lord, hear them pray this prayer. And so wherever you are, just whisper this prayer to God if your desire is to invite Jesus into your life. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. And so I invite you into my life to be my Savior, my forgiver. Forgive me of all my sin. Come into my life and live in me through your Holy Spirit. And begin your deep work in me to shape and mold me to be more like you. To live my life for you. I want to thank you that you hear my prayer. I thank you that you delight in answering my prayer and that you have come into my life because I've asked you to come. And I trust your promise that whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. I put my confidence in that. I believe you. And Lord, for those who raised their hands this morning who said that this is an area of their walk, their life that they struggle with, Lord, I'm praying here this morning that as we take steps to transfer all of our trust from everything else into you, that you would give in these people who raise their hands a growing confidence in you and your word. I pray that you will call them to being in your word daily, reading your promises and taking to heart your promises, to not just believe in you, but to believe your word and to listen to your word. Grow their confidence, I pray, for your glory and honor and praise. Lord, each and every one of us this morning will want to pray and to sing this song as our testimony to you that we need you.
Lord, we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and let's sing.